Father, we thank you for your word tonight. We thank you, Father, that you hold us and you are our refuge. And Father, we hold your hand because we know your voice and we hear it.
Yes, Jesus.
And we're able to grab a hold of the right person. And we thank you, Father, that you lead us and you guide us. You speak to us and your sheep hear your voice. And they won't follow a stranger. We refuse to follow a stranger. We are only going to follow you. And I thank you tonight, Lord, that your Holy Spirit is going to enlighten us between the difference between the enemy's voice and your voice, and even the voice of our flesh, and those characteristics that are going to stand out tonight, so that, you know, each one, as we leave this room tonight, we're going to be assured when something is heard by our ears, our inner ears, that we'll know where it comes from. And I just thank you in Jesus' name. We just receive by faith. Amen.
Amen.
Okay. Tonight is many voices, but only one is God's. Now, the main reason God wants you to hear his voice is, you know what? Not for guidance, believe it or not. It's to know him personally and intimately. That's the only reason he wants you to hear his voice, is to know him personally and intimately. And you know what? He's not going to tell you everything either. But when the voice of wisdom and life speaks, we need to listen. I was thinking of that thing, you know, when E.F. Hutton, you remember that commercial a long time ago, E.F. Hutton, and all of a sudden everybody's got their ears listening. You know, when God speaks, that's how we need to be. And so, but anyway, we need to learn to hear his voice, but also to discern between his voice and all the other voices. And it's not easy to discern. It takes time. It's a process, a learning process. But you know what? God is going to make sure you hear it, because he's more interested in you hearing his voice than you're interested in hearing his voice. And he has a number of ways he can get through to you on something. And he's not limited in the amount of techniques that he will use to get your attention. So don't be afraid, oh, I'm going to miss God's voice, and that'll be the, you know what? You know, the only way you can really, really miss his voice if you are in total rebellion. Mm-hmm. Total rebellion. And you know what? Even then, he's going to be saying something to you. Mm-hmm. And you're going to get the point. You know? So he's going to say, stop it. Draw near to me. So tonight we're going to talk about how to learn the difference between the Lord's voice, the demon's voice, because we know, I believe, and help got him out of control. I taught you that the only way demons speak to us is through our mind. They put thoughts in our mind, and you think it's your thoughts because they sound like you, because it's your mind. See, that's what the trick. God's voice, the demon's voice, and the voice of your flesh all sound like you. And, you know, I think the reason God does that is because we're not scared of the familiar. He doesn't want to scare us. Remember when the people were at Mount Sinai and God's voice thundered from above, and it shook them and said, no, Moses, we don't want to hear God's voice. You go up there and you hear it, and you come down and tell us what he said. So God knows that we're fragile, you know. So what he's going to do is the Father speaks to the Holy Spirit, who lives inside you, okay? The Holy Spirit speaks to your spirit, your human spirit. Then that human spirit translates it, brings it up to your mind, and it becomes a revelation, and you become enlightened. And you realize, aha, I heard the voice of God. That's how it works. So how do you know then? I mean, it's really confusing to know, well, if God's voice sounds like my voice, and my voice sounds like my voice, and the enemy's voice sounds like my voice, how can I tell the difference? And so that's what we're going to talk about tonight. Let's go over to John, because this is our main text, John 10. And don't be concerned that you're going to miss out on God. You know, it's just a practice makes perfect. I like that little thing that I used to have, a little song that I used to sing to the kids. Practice makes perfect. Anyway, you don't want to hear my singing. All right, John 10:3. It says, to him the porter opens, and the sheep hear his voice, and he calls his own sheep by name and leads them out. Do you see that? And then go to 5. And a stranger will they not follow, but will flee from him, for they know not the voice of strangers. And then go over to 27. My sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me. And then since you're on John, go to John 18:37. This is when Pilate and Jesus had a conversation. Pilate therefore said to him, "Are you a king then?" Jesus answered, "You say that I am a king. To this end was I born. For this cause came I into the world, that I should bear witness to the truth. Everyone that is of the truth hears my voice." If you are you of the truth?
Yes.
Then guess what? You've been hearing God's voice all along. You have been hearing it. It's just that you just needed to tune your little tuner a little bit. That's all. You know, you're getting some static, but it's interesting. When somewhere in the Bible I read, and I don't know where it is right now. The Holy Spirit might enlighten me in this, but Jesus heard the voice of his Father, and it sounded like his voice. But whenever everybody else heard it, it sounded like thunder, and that's because they weren't in tune to the Father's voice. So his voice may have sounded a little different than you because you weren't familiar with it. That's all. After tonight, you're gonna be familiar with it. So I'm gonna go through some characteristics and some things that you'll know whether that is God's voice. Then I'm gonna go and tell you what the demonic powers will, their attributes and their character. And then I'm gonna go and tell you what if it's your flesh speaking. And then I hope when you practice it, study this, you'll be able to tell the difference. When any situation comes in and say, okay, was this my flesh? Was this a demon? Or was this God telling me this? Because I just heard something inside my spirit. So who is it? Okay, now, number one, he rarely asks us to do something that we can do in our own strength or by our own effort. If you find something that is really big and you believe that you're supposed to do it, but it looks like it's too big for you to handle, chances are it's probably God. You know why? He said he wants to create in you a need for more of him. So he's going to ask you to do some tough things. Things that you're going to say, this is too big for me. This is way too big for me. I don't know how to do this. I don't even know where to start. And God's saying, good. That means you're going to have to communicate with me. Okay? Next, number two is God's thoughts are different than our thoughts. You know, you go to Isaiah, he says it, that his thoughts are higher. His way of thinking is so different than ours. He has a different perspective on the situations in your life. And they differ, a lot of times they differ greatly than yours. You know, you think that you should go one way, and God says, this is the way I'm taking you. And what happens is, you're saying, well, God, you're telling me to do this, but between here and that corner back there, a straight line, I should just go that away. But what does God do? No, you're not going to go from here to there. That's your goal, but you're not going to go that way. This is the way you're going to go. And he has you weaving through these rows. You know why he does that? Because if you arrive at your destiny before your character is ready for it, mm-hmm. you're going to fall flat on your face when you get there, and you're not going to hold on to what the promise is there. So his avenues are so different than ours. And so they're very different. His solutions are sometimes just totally opposite. Anyway, number three is in line with the word, the Logos word. He'll never contradict himself. He'll always speak very clear and in line with his word. That's why it's really important for you to know the Logos, the written word of God, because he's not going to contradict himself. You know, he's not going to tell you to go out. Okay, you have, I'm trying to think of some situations here. You go out and you have a fight with someone, and they're totally wrong and you're totally in the right. And just think this is really true. You know, you were really in the right, and they were really in the wrong. You know, I mean, from God's perspective, he would even look at it that way, okay? But God says not to be in strife with your brother and sister. Now, you can say, well, I'm justified, vengeance, God, vengeance. Or, you know, you decide you're going to take vengeance yourself. Well, you know that's not God. Because God says, be at peace with everybody, if it's at all possible, be at peace. And forgive. Just forgive. So, you know the written word says to forgive. So, you know when a little voice says, she deserved that, he deserved that, you don't have to go do that. You know, they're in the wrong. What they should be doing is coming to you and asking for forgiveness. Just put them in God's hands and tell God to zap them. I like to do a John and a James. You want me to call fire down from heaven, Lord? You know, you right away, you'll know that is not the voice of God. It's probably the voice of your flesh, along with the demons. But anyway, and so now number four is God's voice has his character in it. And if you want to know what the character of God is, two books that I love, Volume 1 and Volume 2 of A.W. Tozer, The Attributes of God. It's the character of God. that will give you an idea what God is really like. Most tremendous books. I can't say enough about those two books. I have devoured those two books to know what God is like. If you really want to know what God is like, you got to know what his character is like. What's mercy mean? What is he? You know, because God is a God of love. He's compassionate. He's gentle. God doesn't whine and cry. In other words, you know, you go to your husband and said, but I know God said to do this. And your husband said, no, I don't think we're going to do that. Yeah, but I know this is God, and I just really want to do this. And you whine, and you whine, and you whine. This is God. You know what? That's your flesh. Because God doesn't whine. You can't say to your husband, your spouse, whatever, your children, and cry and whine and complain and say, this is God, and you're supposed to do this. Because God doesn't act that way. So you already know that that's not God. I had someone do that to me. I had someone prophetically speak over to me angrily, very angrily. And I mean, I thought I was going to hell. I really did. I thought, oh my goodness, I'm going to get zapped with a lightning bolt from heaven. You know what? I did not know then that that's not the way God operates. But I was at the mercy of that woman. And really, and this whole time it was just in her flesh. So anyway, so he doesn't whine, cry, nag, push, argue. Doesn't he say, let us reason together? Mm-hmm. He doesn't yell, he doesn't scream, he's not mean, condemning, or accusing. So if you have a voice inside of you that's doing any of those, it's not God. Period. He's got a soft voice. The small, still voice, right? Calm, soft, confident, kind, loving, merciful, gentle. That's the voice of God. God is going to look at you as the most important person on the face of this earth. And he's going to look at that other person that you're thinking about as the most important person on the face of this earth. And he's going to say, love them. Love them. Be gentle to them. Amen. Be kind to them. Amen. So you'll know that if there's a voice in your little head that's saying, no, it's in your head. It's not from your spirit. See, God speaks from your spirit. The devil and your flesh speak from your mind. Yep. They're not, the devil can't get into your spirit. The demonic powers cannot get into your spirit. That's sealed with the stamp of the Holy Spirit. Out of your spirit will flow the fruits of the spirit. God exhorts, he encourages, and he comforts, just like a prophet. That's what a prophet is supposed to do. And Moses says, oh, but if all God's people would be prophets. Because that's what a prophet is supposed to do. A prophet of God will encourage you, exhort you, comfort you, lift you up, bring you to the next level with God, give you hope for a future. See, that's what God's voice sounds like. That's God, what God's voice will always tell you to do. But his voice also convicts us through the Holy Spirit of our sin. But he always shows a way of repentance and forgiveness. You have to realize that. Remember Jesus, when the woman caught in adultery went to him, they were ready to stone her. That was in their flesh, that and that demonic power or something. I mean, they were ready to crucify her. And Jesus said, where are your accusers? She goes, they're not here anymore. And he goes, well, I don't accuse you either. Just go and sin no more. That's Jesus. That's God. So God's voice will produce good fruit. If we are accurately hearing God's voice, our lives will reflect his fruit. You know what the fruit of the Spirit is, right? Yes. Love, joy, peace, patience. Go to Galatians 5. You'll find the fruits of the Spirit. When you're hearing God's voice on a regular basis and you're obeying God's voice, the fruits of those Spirit are going to be evident in your life. People are going to be able to see that, come and pick the fruit off of you. They're going to want to get a word from you. They're going to want to get a word. They're going to want you to pray for them, because you know that when they know that once you're done praying for them and giving them a word from God, you're going to feel good. They're going to feel good. They're going to like, wow, I heard God. I feel so much better that I was in the presence of Dana and Mumby and Jenny and Sue. I feel better that I've been in their presence, because their presence reflected Jesus. So it's good fruits. You'll have an inward knowing. God desires to communicate spiritual feelings to your spirit. And that's when I was talking about that the Father speaks to the Holy Spirit and the Holy Spirit speaks to your spirit, you know, kind of gets it all and gets it transferred back up to your mind, so it forms a thought. So you hear your voice in your mind, but it came from your spirit. It's an inwardness, an inward knowing. It's like, oh, I know that I know. You just know that you know. that's the way it is. Let's go to 1 Corinthians 2. Let's just read that scripture. Verse 9. It says, but as it is written, eye has not seen, nor ear heard, neither has entered into the heart of man the things which God has prepared for them that love him. And then go to 12. Now we have received not the spirit of the world, but the spirit which is of God, that we might know the things that are freely given to us of God, which things also we speak, not in words which man's wisdom teaches, but which the Holy Ghost teaches, comparing spiritual things with spiritual things. And so that's what I'm talking about. This is this inward knowing. The Holy Spirit is teaching your spirit. And so you'll know, I'll tell you what, you'll know when you have heard something inside your spirit. It'll speak very loudly. It won't come from the head. You're going to feel like, oh, came down here, you know, my heart, my stomach. And you just know. It's not a logical thinking process that you brought yourself through. See, God is quick. When he wants to tell you something, he just downloads it. And you know it. You've heard him. Your mind, when you know it's your mind, you know, you're just like, you're calculating. Well, let's just say, you know, God's not saying you can't calculate, but I'm just saying you need to know when it's God and when it's your thinking. And make sure if your thinking's in line with God, you'll know. It'll happen. Also, number 70 requires faith to wait and courage to hold your ground. And in Psalm 27:14, this is in your notes, so you don't have to look it up. Wait on the Lord, be of good courage, and he shall strengthen thine heart. Wait, I say, on the Lord. Now that's twice in one verse that God is saying wait. So you have to realize that sometimes it's going to require faith on your part. So when you hear God's voice, and you know he said something, and all of a sudden you have this long waiting period for it to happen, chances are it was God. The devils want to give you quickly what you thought you heard, that it might have come from God. Give them quickly, let them fall flat on their face because they're not big enough to handle it. So when God speaks, some of those things you're going to have to wait for. You're going to wait them out. Just like when somebody gives you a prophetic word. See, mommy, you're having a big ministry, you know? Yeah. And it's prophetic. But, you know, she sees like a year goes by. She doesn't see anything. Well, you know, it's just because God is working in her. There's going to be a time frame when that will happen. But you have to wait. You have to wait until God's finished. God is preparer. There's a preparation time that has to go on before she's going to walk in the fullness of what God has. So there's going to be a waiting period when, and it's the same with me when God said one day I was crying. I'd worked for another man's ministry and served him for 7 years, and I thought I was going to be there forever. And I had to, through certain circumstances, I stepped down. And it was sad. It was a sad time for me. I was just crying my eyes out. And I remember one day in bed, you know, the Lord just woke me up. That night, I think I had the fragrance of the Lord woke me up in the middle of the night, and then I went back to sleep. That's it, your senses being awakened, you know, talking about the fragrance of the Lord. And then the next morning, I'm waking up. My eyes are still crying, you know, and just kind of grieving. And he said, I have a ministry for you. And I'm like, no, I don't want that. I don't want to. I, you know, there was so much work in that other one. Do you think I want to do this all over again? You know. But that, you know, he was preparing me. That time, that 7 years serving someone else was my preparation time, and so I waited out, and then I had to continue to wait, and that was like 3 years ago. Now I do have Oil of Joy Ministries, but I'm just saying it was a waiting time. So in fact, even that morning, I said, all right, if this is really you, Lord, because I knew it wasn't my flesh because I didn't want it. I was really sure. It was either God or the devil telling me this, and I wanted to believe it was the devil because I didn't want my own ministry. And in my heart, I said, Lord, I know the devil can't hear me in my spirit here, but I'm going to speak to you. And I said, confirm this, confirm this. And while I was still in the bed saying, confirm this, confirm this, I get a phone call. And my girlfriend says, you know, I had this urge just now to give you a call and say that God is calling you into your own ministry and I want to be your first partner. And I'm like, what? I mean, I was like, see how God can do things? I mean, God is not, he's not void of different ways that he can get to you and get you an answer. And if you believe he'll do that kind of stuff, he will. I'll tell you what, he will. So, but anyway, then peace will flood your soul. And that's what happened to me that night, that morning. Peace flooded my soul that I knew, that I knew, that I knew. I was still crying because I didn't really want to do it. That's terrible. But I knew, you know, hey, you know, God's going to ask you to do some hard things you don't want to do. But that's okay. You'll grow into it. He'll help you. But that's when you're in complete harmony, both your spirit, your soul, and your body. You just know. You know, you have such peace. It's like when my husband and I had the same dream about this piece of land. We both, peace flooded us. Both, I mean, we knew that we knew. You know what? Even if something comes up in this, we're having challenges with the, you know, I'm not saying we're having challenges, but I'm saying if we had challenges with the land or whatever and where to put the house and, you know, it's not going to work out. You know what? I have such peace that that's the land that God wanted us to have. So whatever happens is going to be the way God wants it. And I have peace with that. So we're just following through on it. He gave us that. It was before that I had the turmoil. I don't know if I should go there or what about this property, you know, and I was just, I need to stop. I need to step back because I have no peace whatsoever in any of this. I don't want to do anything. So God will give you peace. You have to let that peace, that umpire, settle the question for you. Because he's calling peace. The umpire is calling peace. And if he doesn't call peace, then stop what you're doing. Just stop dead in your tracks and don't proceed. So you'll know. You know, it's like that. A lot of times I like to try to make things happen. But that won't bring you peace either, will it? Because then you always wonder, well, did I really make this happen? Did I force God into this whole situation? Was this really his will? I wonder if I really did the right thing. Before you know it, you're back and forth, back and forth. Just go with a hunch. You believe. You know, I just believe this is what God wants me to do. I'm going on a hunch, a feeling. It's all right to do that. You know, as long as that feeling gives you peace. That hunch gives you peace. How about confidence, assurance, and rest? That's those kinds of things will follow. That's number 9. It says in Isaiah 30:15, in quietness and in confidence shall be your strength. You'll have strength in what you're doing, that you've heard God's voice. And that'll help you to trust with all your heart. And another thing is the lordship of Jesus Christ. Satan and his demon hordes will not call Jesus Lord. And the lordship of Jesus Christ has to be utmost in your heart too. You can't allow anybody else to be Lord in your life. If anybody else is Lord in your life, maybe you're not hearing God in that situation. If it is becoming, if that situation, what you think you heard God say to you is taking over your fellowship with God and your time spent with God, then that is becoming a Lord in your life rather than Jesus's. Yep. That's, you know what? That's what that ministry did. I got so attached to that ministry, that was my baby. And I spent so much time doing and not being. Doing for God, but not being with God. Mm-hmm. And it became a God to me, a Lord to me. Jesus wasn't my Lord anymore, so to speak. I mean, he's still, you know, my Lord, but do you see what I'm saying? I put him aside because this was my thing. This was my creation. So anything that's going to take your eyes off of Jesus and put it on something else, and you know it, that it has taken priority in your life, hey, that's not of God. And God's voice is whispering, come back to me, come back to me. Put your eyes back on me. And you know what? God's not, number 11, God's not afraid to confirm. He is not afraid to confirm, just like I did, what he did that morning to me. He's not, you know, he'll confirm as many times as you think you need it. And he'll do that. So, especially for guidance. I like what 2 Corinthians 13:1 says. This is the third time I am coming to you. And it says, in the mouth of 2 or 3 witnesses, let every word be established. So, God's not afraid to say something. In fact, I had a call from a friend the other night, and he says, I just need some prayer. Would you just pray for me? And about the situation, my job situation. Well, I don't like to tell somebody, are you going to, you know, he says, well, I don't know what I should stay with this job, quit this job, do, you know. I said, you know what? I don't like telling somebody. That's up to them and the Holy Spirit. However, I can pray. and allow God to open your ears to hear him so that you are connected with him and you know what to do. And so that's what I prayed. And the prayer that I prayed after all was said and done, he goes, wow. That was a confirmation. I just had that prayer from somebody else the other day, almost word for word. Word for word? Word for word? I mean, it surprised me. I mean, God used me. See, God is not afraid to confirm. I did that. That happens a lot. People say that a lot to me. You just confirmed something. And I did? Wow, that was to come from God. God actually used me. That's exciting when you get used by God. Another thing is God sometimes won't speak very plain. Demons will speak very plain. Go ahead and do that. You know, sometimes it's because a lot of times we won't obey. And so what he does is he speaks in dark sayings, in parable form. And because he's trying to get you to follow him and to go after him. And besides that, since you won't obey, if he's real clear and he comes down from heaven and says, Dana, I want you to go and join Jenny in Oil of Joy Ministries and be a team with her, and Dana doesn't obey, she has to answer to God, because that was a firm, sure, very clear statement from God, okay? So God doesn't always go that way. He gives you the benefit of the doubt in case you're not going to obey. This way you don't have such chastisement. He'll do it in dark sayings, you know, so that you have an opportunity to go after and find out for sure. And by the time you've figured it out, your heart is right there ready to do it, you know. So a lot of times that's how he works. And let's see, what else? We're almost done with God here. You know, we do. We want our agenda, and we want God to give an okay to it. And you know what our agenda is? To live in comfort. To be esteemed in the eyes of others. So, anyway, do you know what? God wants friendship when all is said and done, so he appears very distant. He's going to play hide and seek with you. Sometimes I feel like I can't hear your voice. Has anybody ever felt that way? If I can't hear your voice, I need to hear your voice. I can't hear your voice. You know why? It's because God wants fellowship with you. You know what we want? Results. All he wants is fellowship. So what do? He plays hide and seek. See, he wants to talk. We want a quick fix. So he plays this little game with us, hide and seek. You know, he'll always let us find him, because he says, he who seeks me will find me, right? Mm-hmm. Seek and you shall find. So he's going to play hide and seek with you until you press in and you press in and you press in. It was so funny the other night. I'm thinking, I got to press in. I mean, I'm teaching this thing inside. Sometimes I feel like I can't even hear God's voice. I can hear more when I'm not teaching this class. I need some new material, God. And so the other night I said, I am pressing into you tonight, and I refused to go to bed. And I read the word. I was in, you know, it doesn't matter what book I was in. And I said, you know what? I'm going to lay on the floor. And I'm just going to lay here until you speak to me. And it was dark. I turned out all the lights. And it's funny, I laid down. I must have laid there for about an hour and a half. And, you know, he was comforting me and all. You know, and you have these thoughts and you're thinking God's talking to you. And I'm sure he is, because he was making me feel good about myself. I'm sure that was God. But what happened was I fell asleep. And I woke up with a dream. He had given me a dream. And in the dream, an enemy had come. A thief had come in and stolen my elliptical trainer. You know, that kind of thing that goes like this. And he goes like, I have one of those. I got it from my husband. And I don't like using it. He uses it. And he came and stole it. And so I woke up and I'm like, what is that all about? I ask you to talk to me and you're showing me a thief comes in and steals the only piece of equipment I don't even like anyway. You know, and so what I have to do, I didn't understand it. So I went into prayer. And all he kept saying, get into my word. And I'm like, all right. So I got into his word, and I said, oh, thief. Who's the thief in the Bible? Oh, the devil's the thief. He comes to steal, kill, and destroy. So the devil has come in, and he's taken something from me. What has he taken from me? Oh, my time to exercise. See, 1 week prior, I decided, you know what? I have so much I have to do with this class and all the things. I have another more Sunday morning class. I have too much to do. I don't need to exercise. Mm-hmm. And I actually lost the desire to exercise. And I said, you know what? I'm just putting it aside until a future time. I don't know when, you know. And I just lost the desire to exercise. And I'm an exercise nut. And what God was showing me was the enemy has just come and stolen from you your desire to exercise, because he picked the very equipment that I didn't desire anymore. He's showing me that I lost my desire. And do you see what I'm saying? How he'll work through you in dreams? And I'm thinking, I wanted you to talk to me about something really important. But you know what? Maybe that was important. Maybe he realizes I need to exercise. And I think he thinks that, you know, I know the Bible says it's not as profitable as exercising, as exercising your spirit, and but it's still profitable. So he spoke to me. Not what I wanted to speak about, but it's okay. That's okay. I got some new material. But anyway, friendship is the key to recognizing God's voice. You got to become his friend. You got to become his friend. Actually, that night he gave me four dreams. He gave me one dream about you guys, too. You want to hear it?
Yes.
Let's see. Renita was in it, and Sue was in it, and everybody, and you're all in it. All, in fact, the room was about three times bigger. They opened up this wall here. And so I'm thinking, ooh, we're going to expand. And Sue's up there singing and worship, and the glory is just filling the room, and everybody is so in awe. And Renita was over there. You were actually making something on the side. It was food, but I know it had to do with the word, because the soup that you were making had, you were creating something, but it was food for nourishment. So usually when you know that's the word. But anyway, and I'm watching and I'm looking at all this, and everybody just steps aside off to the side. And then the glory comes down and everybody goes into the middle of the room and starts dancing before the Lord. I mean, worship really fell. And I'm thinking, and then everybody would go over and stir the soup that Vernita had started. And I knew that it was the word. They're stirring, they're being stirred in the word. They're being stirred in the word. And then they go, and then they, as soon as they stir, they went in and started dancing in the spirit. And I'm thinking, they're really, I woke up and I'm like, wow, they're really getting it, God. They're going somewhere. You're bringing them into your presence. You know, I mean, see that? He gave me that one too. And then he gave me another two that I don't remember. Anyway, so I had four dreams from God, and I knew they all were pretty awesome. That was the most awesome, I thought. But anyway, so this is good stuff. You're coming. God's saying you're receiving. You're receiving something. You know what? I'm not here to feed you. Do you know what I'm here to do?
Stir up.
Get you hungry.
Yes.
I'm here to make you hungry to eat that soup. No, that's what I am. If I'm stirring you to hunger, that's what my goal is here. It's not to feed you. I'm stirring you to be more hungry tomorrow than you were today for God.
Oh, yes.
I hope I'm doing what I'm supposed to be doing, because that's what my prayer is all the time. Okay, let's talk about when the devil, because we're getting short on time here. When the devil, we'll be quick with him, because there's not, you know, you'll know what he... Doubt, fear, and discomfort. You doubt, you fear. See, he speaks to your soul, your mind. Your mind is in your soul, okay? So he'll speak to your soul. You'll know it's kind of a thought that comes up here, not that's from your heart. And you have to start distinguishing the two, okay? It's really important that you say, well, does this come out of my head, or is this coming really from my heart? Is it a real heart thing that I'm hearing, this voice? Because he does doubt, because God says, I haven't given you the spirit of fear. So the spirit of fear will make, if somebody comes up and gives you a word that puts fear in you, that was not God.
Yes.
If I have a dream, and for some reason I see you in a dream, or I give you a word that, you know, you're going to die, or some of your family's going to die, and I tell you that is not God.
Amen.
That might be for me to stop the enemy from destroying your life or the family's life. And I have had that, and I have been able to intercede and cut the enemy's tactics from destroying that person, and it actually has worked. But I never put the fear in the person. I just prayed through until I know that I, like Daniel, got my word from God and said, they're safe now, you can stop. And you'll know in your heart when you can stop praying for that person. That's all. You know, I'm not gonna, because if I put fear in you, then the spirit of fear has come on you. And then anything's possible with the devil, with you. He'll have you like a little puppet on a string. So fear, no fear, no, you know, that's bad. He says, I have not given you the spirit of bondage again to fear in Romans 8:15. Another one is conflict, restlessness, and no peace. James 3:14. But if ye have bitter envying and strife in your heart, glory not and lie not against the truth. There's that bitter, any kind of conflict you're in, God has called us to peace. If you are in a conflict from somebody, end it. Stop the conflict, because it's not of God. Even if you are in the right, it's not of God. God will not have you in conflict with someone. It's not the way it is. So you need to stop it. Isaiah says there, Isaiah 48:22, there's no peace, says the Lord, unto the wicked. So if you have no peace, you got to get a clue. It's the enemy. It's the enemy's voice. God gives you peace. How about confusion? God says he is not the author of confusion. So if God's not the author, who is?
Satan.
Satan's the author of confusion. There you go. James 3:16. God, let's look up a scripture. For where envy and strife is, there is confusion and every evil work. There you go. There you go. See? And again, Satan causes you to place your eyes on yourself. His voice demands that you qualify for the task, and this causes you to take your eyes off of God and onto yourself. See, he's going to make you you can't do that. You don't qualify. Or you to look at yourself and not to God. See, God's going to make you, you're going to say, wow, I can't do this without God. And so you can do it, but he'll make you look at yourself. You see, I think I can do that. I've gone through this school and this school. You have to know that if you take your eyes off of God and you put them on yourself and saying, I, you know it's the enemy. Of course, the lordship of Jesus is denied also. Every spirit that confesses not that Jesus has come in the flesh is not of God, it's of the Antichrist. Okay? Condemnation. Satan brings up past sins that have been confessed, forgiven, thrown in the sea of forgetfulness, forgotten by God. If your past sins come up before you and you're grieving and you feel bad about them, guess what? Who is doing that? It's not God. Because he says when he forgives you, he forgets. He purposes to forget. So he doesn't bring up the old issues in your life. So when you have thoughts and saying, how can you use me, God? Look at me. Look what I've done in my past. That is not, the enemy will just make you think of something you've done in the past to make you feel really bad. That's not God. You think, oh, God, I'm sorry again. You're bringing things up because maybe I haven't repented enough or something. No, that is not God. God wants you to take your eyes off your past, off your past sins, and look to the future and what he has for you. He's a God of faith. He sees you as you will be, not as you were. Okay? He doesn't even see you as you are now. He has a picture of you, and it's a perfect picture. I like that. There's no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. Now the word of, let's go to Genesis 3. Genesis 3, go to verse 1. The word of God is questioned, okay? Now the serpent was more subtle than any beast of the field which the Lord God had made. And he said to the woman, yea, has God said, you shall not eat of every tree of the garden? So you see here that God's word is questioned. If you have a word from God or the Bible, you know it's right in the Bible, and a thought comes up that questions that, guess what? It's not God. Okay? It's the enemy. Just like he did Eve. He's questioning God. Okay? God's word is contradicted. Go to 3:4. And it said, and the serpent said to the woman, ye shall not surely die. He just contradicted the word, didn't he?
Yes.
So whenever the word is contradicted, guess what? That's the devil. It's a demonic power coming against you. How about the character of God is maligned? Go to 3:5. For God does know that in the day that you eat thereof, then your eyes shall be open, and ye shall be as gods, knowing good and evil. So he just maligned God's character. He is saying that God doesn't really have your best interest at heart. If somebody comes to you or even your thought, a thought comes up and says God doesn't really, is not really going to do what's best for you. God, he doesn't really care about me. He doesn't understand, and he's not there for me, and he's just on and on. All these things that we go through when we have issues in our life, guess what? That's the enemy placing those thoughts in you. Because he's maligning the character of God, the true character of God, the character of God that says, I am love and I love you. I love you so much I died for you. That's how much I love you. So it's his malign. And then, of course, it will appeal to your flesh. 1:3:6. And when the woman saw that the tree was good for food, and that was pleasant to the eyes, and a tree to be desired to make one wise, she took of the fruit thereof and did eat, and gave also to her husband with her, and he did eat. So you'll see too that a lot of times your thoughts, if it appeals to your flesh, that candy bar, no. I think God will let you have candy bars once in a while, as long as you don't get addicted to them. But anyway, now let's talk real quick, just the last 5 minutes on the flesh. Now, when your flesh is speaking, a lot of times your emotions are involved, because your emotions are in your flesh. And your emotions is a lot of times where the devil attacks, and he puts you in a place where you won't even know what reality really is. You know, what happens is your emotions get so riled up about something, and you know what? You don't even know all the circumstances behind it all, but you have gotten so stirred up in your emotions that you're fleshing out. You just, you know, you lose it, you get angry, see, I look at people and they come to me and they say, I have this anger problem, would you cast this devil out of me? And I said, the only thing I can cast out of you is you. You know, because an anger is a flesh issue. Mm-hmm. Now, if you are addicted to something, that's a devil thing. I can, you know, we'll cast out the devil of addiction, whatever that is. But see what I'm saying? So when you're having when the flesh is speaking, you get cravings, you know, and just it's a fleshy thing. Mm-hmm. I mean, I don't know how else to say it. It's just that you become out of control in your emotions. And you know what? If you yield to your emotions, you're going to enter sin. Sin and your emotions are best friends. Got to be really careful, because bad emotions will make bad decisions in your life. It leads to the flesh feeling good. I call it a tantrum of the flesh. You know, so you really know when your flesh is speaking. And so, you know what? God says in Isaiah 26:3, thou will keep in perfect peace whose mind is stayed on thee, because he trusts in thee. That's how you get out of your flesh and get into the Spirit, is keeping your mind on God. As you keep your mind on God, he puts that emotional realm of yours in perfect peace. See, God is trying to sanctify your soul. He's trying to sanctify your emotions, so that when I go and pray for somebody like Mumby, instead of maybe we just had an issue and I was kind of mad at her, but I put that aside and say, no, that's a flesh thing. And all of a sudden, something rouses up and I feel this love for her. I'll know. See, my emotion has just got sanctified. See, that's what God is trying to do, is he's sanctifying your emotions. So that emotions, I'm not saying they're bad. It's just that once they've been sanctified, they're very good. Then the Holy Spirit will give you his emotions for someone. And then you can minister to that person and help that person. That's what God's trying to do. But if we allow our flesh to do its own thing, you got to put a rein on your flesh. you can put a muzzle, and I don't know. You know, that's why your flesh has to be yoked to Jesus. But anyway, Jesus' thought life led him to make decisions from his spirit and not his emotion. You know, think about this. I was like, Lord, give me an example in your life. And here he was on the earth. His disciples just came to him and said, yeah, Lazarus is sick. Your good buddy, friend is sick. He's sick. He's sick to death. And what did Jesus do? In the natural, we got to run. We got to go. I know I can heal Lazarus. They got to, before he dies, you know. And you know, before everybody grieves and feels bad and everything. But no, Jesus tarried another 4 days. Mm-hmm. He did not allow his emotions to dictate to him. And you know what happened? Because he waited 4 days. The Jewish race think that your spirit leaves your body after 3 days. Mm-hmm. Okay? So when he raised Lazarus from the dead, he showed the Jewish people that, guess what? I am even the Lord of that. I can command a spirit to come back into a man. Mm-hmm. That the Spirit of God was upon this man, and all their thinking was wrong. Right. So, I mean, it was what he... But if he had just jumped to it, he would have lost that. He would probably wouldn't have died. And even if he did, it only been 1, 2, and 3 days. And we said, well, the spirit never left, so you really didn't raise him from the dead. See? So that was the one he gave me tonight. Another one is make decisions based on what the Word says and not what your emotions say. Even though your emotions are rising up on the inside, don't rise with them. Stillness is vital. It's kind of funny, too, because an example of this is you can lose some money if you rise too fast to an occasion. I got to the point where I said, you know what? I believe I'm going to be that 112, but in the meantime, you know, I'm going to finally get rid of my clothes. I'm just going to, you know, I got size 7s and 6s and 8s, and I'm like, you know, I'm in 9s now. I'm just going to, you know, get rid of them, and I'm just going to go buy some new clothes. And it mainly just pants. The dresses, skirts, you know, you can get away with murdering those. But... And I felt, you know, wait, I'm going to do that, but I'm going to wait. I'm not going to go buy anything yet. I'm just going to wait. I don't know why. I'm not going to be rash about this. And I just had somebody give me a bunch of great clothes, every single one. I had 8 pairs of pants, jeans, and nice khakis. They all fit me, all brand new. They run from $50 to $75 a piece. And they just gave them to me. I just got about $400 worth of pants. Because I didn't run out and do it on my own and spend all that money. Because I waited. I waited. I didn't let my emotion go, well, I need some clothes now. I have no pants to wear, you know. Instead of, you know, I'm not going to wear these tight things anymore that, you know, I think my stomach's about ready to burst out of me. But anyway. But God blessed me because of that. He had a plan all along. And since I decided to wait, I got blessed from it. Yeah. So real fast, here's some clues when your flesh is speaking. Hesitation. Self has to think before it speaks. Okay? See, God's word flows easily because you have rivers of living water flowing through you. How about deception? Wrong thinking? You can go astray with your heart since you don't really know yourself. Jeremiah 17, 9 and 10 says, the heart is deceitful above all things and desperately wicked. Who can know it? The only way you can get your heart full and right is meditating on the Word of God. You have to fill and clean out your heart. Your heart, I'll tell you what, there's times when I say, oh yeah, I got a good heart. I'm really studying the Word. I mean, you know, I'm sure I got little areas in there somewhere that I still have issues that I have to clean out. We all do. We all do. I'm not perfect, you know, but I'm on my way. That's where we're supposed to be, right? We're supposed to be looking to Jesus, the author and the finisher of our faith. Amen. Our faith is supposed to be perfect. Anyway, double-mindedness. You know, when your flesh is speaking, you're going back and forth regarding things. You know, pray for a prayer in faith. Oh, you know, I believe that God's going to come through for me. And then the next day you're saying, oh, I can't believe this hasn't happened. You know, it's never going to happen, you know. Do you see what I'm saying? Back and forth. That's a flesh thing. That comes out of your flesh. That's what your flesh is speaking. When you're doubting, your flesh is speaking. Double-minded man is unstable in all his ways, James 1 says. And said, how about unregenerated desires? Our own voice speaking, the old desires that we used to indulge in. Oh, come on, just one more drink. I know you haven't had a drink for 2 years. What's one little thing? How about a cigarette? You know, you just quit smoking and you're doing so good, you're into 3 or 4 months. And all of a sudden this little thought comes up. Hey, you're redeemed from this. You're okay now. It's not really sin. Just one smoke is not going to hurt. Just one drink, you're not going to get drunk. The Bible says you're not going to get drunk. You shouldn't get drunk. It doesn't say you can't drink. You know, these are the thoughts. These are flesh issues. Then you know that the flesh is speaking, okay? Because that one drink or that one smoke, once you've quit, you have just given an avenue for the demonic power to come and give you the addiction again. Yeah. See? I'm just kind of sharing that with you because that was just some of the things that I have experienced in a number of people who I've been praying for and helping, and we got them delivered, and then all of a sudden the little voice came in and said, oh, just one won't hurt, and they're back again. And so, but anyway, paths to hearing. I'm going to just, you don't have this one in your notes. Submit your thoughts and opinions to God. Amen. Submit them to God. If you got a thought in you, say, God, is this your thought? What do you think? Is this yours? Is this? And I'm not coming to you with any of my opinions. You tell me what you think on this issue. I don't want to give you any I don't want to have any preconceived ideas. So I don't want to come with my opinion. Even though I may have an opinion, I'm going to put it aside. I want you to tell me what you want to tell me. Resist the voice of the enemy and the voice of your flesh by using the power God gave you and the mighty weapons, His Word, His name, and His blood. Use the weapons. In other words, in the name of Jesus, I rebuke that thought. If it is not of God, I denounce it in Jesus' name. Use the power of his name, his word, and his blood. Don't make hearing God complicated. I mean, he can talk to you any which way. Why don't you just believe he's going to talk to you, and he is talking to you, and he's going to get his thoughts to you. Just believe it. Just have faith. Let God speak as he sees fit. I wanted to hear some things, but he gave me some other things and some different ways. I wanted to hear him that night. I wanted to hear him so strong. And what did he do? He decided he was going to do it through a dream. So be open. Let God do it the way he wants to do it. And always obey him when you hear him speak. And practice. Continue practice hearing it. Who's on the phone? Remember those little things I told you? You know, who's when the phone rings, who's on the phone? And then cultivate an intimate relationship with the Holy Spirit. Cultivate an intimate relationship with the Holy Spirit. And you, I guarantee you, he talks to his friends. I thank you, Father, for your word tonight. I thank you, Lord God, that your word is true, it's perfect, it's pure. Your words are uplifting, they're exhorting, they're comforting to us. You always have us telling us the way to go, the way in which we should go. Father, you never desire for us to stumble or be in confusion. And I thank you, Father, that after tonight, everybody's going to meditate on your words and what they sound like and what they feel like and your character. And Father, we'll never be deceived. We're not going to be tricked. We're just going to trust that even if we make a mistake, it's okay. You said when where sin is, grace abounds more. How much more if we just made a mistake will grace abound in our life? And I thank you, Father, in Jesus' name. Amen.